Hey everybody, this is Kevin from the FitCast. This is part one of a two-part presentation that Dan John gave at the LA Strength Seminar just a short time ago. Just going to give you a heads up, you're going to have a whole new outlook on training and life after you listen to this. It was a phenomenal presentation that Dan gave, and he gave me the go-ahead to post it online, which just goes to show you what kind of a guy Dan John is. If you want any more information on Dan John, you can head to his website at danjohn.org. And without further ado, here's part one of the presentation. Don't forget to download part two.
Welcome to LA and to our seminar this 2 days. You know, you're going to learn a lot. I tell people all the time, you know, the number one rule in being successful is to show up. To show up. You know, if you want to beat me at a Highland Games, you better be there that day. You know, and I know a lot of you might have to miss your workout this morning, you know, at the spa, you know, today was chest day, but you're going to pick up more today than you were giving up that one workout, okay? Trust me, you will. There's a handout, my friend Herb has extras if you need them. You'll notice the handouts are all wet, because Salt Lake City had a huge desert storm yesterday. It held up all the airlines for a couple hours, and the nice TSA agents keeping their streak alive opened my bag for me, left it outside, so everything I have is soaked. I really appreciate that. I feel so much safer flying because every time I fly, something misses out of my luggage, you know? And I was like, that makes you feel so much better, you know, flying, you know? I'm going to start, my wife is a, you know, she works for Treasury. I'm going to start getting that paint stuff, you know, on the money. Just put it in there so the red dye blows up on these guys, you know. You know, at least we'll know who we're fighting. So the handouts are wet, and I apologize. My wife called last night. Our football team won last night, which makes me very happy. And this morning's paper reported that the defensive line played remarkably. And that made me very happy because they're all my throws. You know, it makes me very happy that our team is getting better because of the training we're doing. My wife went on to describe the entire evening to me, as she does on the phone, all the time, at about 6 in the morning. And so I'm sitting there, you know, okay. So she says, what did you guys do last night? And she goes, what are you doing right now? I said, well, last night, you know, I was sitting in a bar with a bunch of guys, and all these scantily clad women were hanging around, and one of the people thought that they might not just be friendly natives. And my wife's going, that's cool, you know, because her husband's in a, you know, strange town, you know, pocket full of cash, around, you know, women scantily clad. So she goes, what are you doing? I go, well, all my clothes, and this is true, were soaked, and so I'm ironing my shirt. She goes, you could iron? My life in a nutshell. My wife's mad at me because I know how to iron and never told her, but hanging around a bar with scantily clad women is okay. Welcome to my world, okay? That's the world I live in. Well, I'm going to tell you a story right away. It's a little boring. It's a little dull. It involves football. Don't get lost with the metaphor here. I know a lot of you don't even know what football is, but just follow the point. Just follow. Don't worry. There's a point to be made from it, so just hang in there, okay? Years ago, I was the coach of maybe the worst football team of all time. Very proud. And they were coached just as badly as they played. Well, we kept getting into games, and we were very good. We were very good at getting into situations where we have to punt the ball, which isn't good, okay? And so every time we go and punt the ball, you know, we'd get out there, and we'd have 9 guys on the team. So we'd have to take a timeout to punt the ball. Because in sophomore football, actually, I used to think 9 was pretty good, you know, it's... You need 11, but we got 9, you know. I mean, in some places, that's an A, you know. So I did this weird thing. The next week in practice, I decided to practice the punt team. So we put ourselves in a 3rd-and-15 situation. We put our starting offense against our backups, who, now listen, we're the worst team in the league. Think of how bad the backups are. And we can't get a first down, so I run the punt team out. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and it all made sense. Because on 3rd-and-15, your wide receivers, your people who catch the ball, all sprint way downfield. Right? And when you yell punt team, in my team, you know, say a play takes 6 or 7 seconds, with my wide receivers, they could be as far as 40 yards downfield. I thought you missed a joke. So it took my wide receiver 7 seconds to run a 40. And I'm yelling, punt team, they literally can't hear me yell. And I'm standing there at practice and going, oh my God. That's why we always have 9 guys, 8 guys, 10 guys in the field. Because people on the punt team literally can't hear us calling it in. So what I did very simply was, took the wide receivers off the punt team. Next game, God bless us, we have 11 people out there for the first time all year. Why? Because I saw a problem, and I practiced the problem in practice. A funny thing I started to realize, too, that my team wasn't good enough to get 15 yards against our backups. So what I started doing on third down and 15 is just sending in our punter, he'd get a pitch and kick the ball as far as he could. Then all of a sudden, a funny thing starts happening in games. Pretty soon, we start getting first downs on third and 15 because they think we're going to punt. And the interesting thing is, as this process unfolds in front of me, I all of a sudden had this great realization, this great insight about what we're here to find out today. Is I took an issue, a problem that was happening out there in the field of play, and then I looked at it from the model of practice. What does that mean? Well, some of you are here for body composition issues, right? Some of you might be personal trainers, some of you might be bodybuilders, some of you might be fitness models, right? Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to take this thing that you want, this thing, and we're going to kind of start looking at it here, a little bit in black and white terms, if that makes sense to you. You want to lose body fat, but Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, you go out and drink. And I got nothing against that. I got nothing against it. In fact, I kind of wish I was going with you. But does what you want here match up to what you're doing here? Now, that's the only question I'm going to ask you for the next 2 hours. Is what you want out there, what you're teaching your clients, if you're a coach or a personal trainer, does that match up with what's going on in the field of play? Okay, does that match up? So I have this handout for you, and the first couple pages are a little bit odd. They're odd because a lot of the stuff I tell people, I tell you, nothing worse than going to a Dan John workshop. Why? Because you leave saying, I already knew all that. And no, I really did. I knew that. I know you know. I do. I was a philosophy, I know how to do these plays. I know how to play this argument. I know how to play that game. I know you know that I know that you know, but did you know that I knew? No. But I knew that. Okay. What we're going to talk about today is some basic stuff. So I start off with one of my favorite books. And it's Clausen's book, The Richest Man in Babylon. The Richest Man in Babylon. Not, Nate told me he just read the book. Fabulous book. I brought this one here. And in this book, the very first cure for making wealth is to keep some. Is to keep some. If you have a job, do you keep any of your money? Now listen, I know it's not a financial seminar. I know that. But the point is simple. Anyone want to read this book? Here, first hand up. Here, you want? Oh, I know. Free book. It's a great book. It's wet, it'll dry. Trust me. If you want to make a fortune, Clausen's point is this. Keep 10%. And there's people in this room going, how can you possibly do it? Well, when I first started teaching, I got a grandpa here, huh? I started teaching in 1979, okay? My first, now I had a master's degree. So, by the way, just for the record, my salary did not make 5 figures. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for saying that. 5 figures is $10,000. I didn't make it there. At the time, God, thank you. I saved 10%. The first year I made $11,000 a year, I saved $1,100. Not bragging. Point being, now I'm 49, and I'm thinking, what would I spend the money on? I mean, what would it have been, you know, age 22, 23? Stuff! Drinks!
Crowd.
I would have wasted my money on things and not on, you know, wine, women, and song, you know? That's the old joke, you know? The point of Colossians' book is so simple, but you'll ignore it. Point one I want you to make today, and I don't care what you follow for the rest of the day, is most of the great advice you're going to get in what we're trying to do here is going to be simple stuff. Simple stuff. Colossians' book is about doing something simple. But you know what? Nobody does it! You know you're supposed to save money. Right? There's a bell curve in America. Most of us don't. And yet, 20 years from now, that money is going to be awesome. And you know it, and you know it. And should you smoke? Should you wear your seatbelt? Yes. You know what you're supposed to do. The point is this. Everything I talk about today is going to be simple stuff, but boy, you got to do it, you got to do it. On the next page, if you don't mind flipping over, is one of my favorite books. It's a true to life, no holds barred, tells it the truth. And page one to the last page, Arnold, the Education of a Bodybuilder. Not one thing in there. He told us everything about his success. Good, thank you. That was sarcastic. Good, thanks. Good. One of the reasons what I did is I just went through the first couple, about first two chapters of the book and highlighted some things for you. You know, he talked about, he didn't know why he chose a bodybuilder. The second point, the local bodybuilders accepted him as their protege. You know, one of the questions I always ask people, who are your mentors? Who are your mentors? How many of you coach in here? Just me and I coach? Okay. Who coaches you? Who's somebody you look up to, somebody you trust? Who's your mentor? Yeah, it's very important. You know, I tell you the one great thing I did in my life, I have to say, was I lucked into three great mentors. Coach Ralph Mond, who just died about a month ago. Coach Mond believed in long term. He didn't believe in quick fixes. You know, you don't show up as a senior at a Division I university and say, you know, hey, coach, can I play quarterback for you this year? Okay, you know, he believed in the long term. Coach Bob Lahadi, who believed in beating your athletes to death, was good because long term I got a lot out of it. Of course, and Dick Knottmeyer, for some of you who've read my articles, I have great respect for Dick. Dick is the person who taught me how to snatch and clean and jerk. Oh, by the way, what do you think we did in our workouts? Anyone guess?
Snatch.
We snatch and clean and jerk. Dan, what about? We snatch and clean and jerk. And what about Wednesday? Snatch and clean and jerk. Friday? We snatched and clean and jerked. How did you get good at snatching and clean and jerking? Well, 2 years of snatching and clean and jerking. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe you get good. How do you get good at shooting free throws? Well, I don't know. Shoot free throws. I just work here. The other one, there's a couple areas I'd like you to look at, is he picks a good role model. And he picks Reg Park. You know, nothing wrong with Reg Park. Do you have a role model? I'm telling you, if you're a coach, you have to think through your role models a little bit. If you're an athlete, if you're a bodybuilder, your fitness model, think through your role models a little bit. I'll tell you something hard. Pick good role models. Pick good role models. Because one day you might need them. I had a role model when I was a senior in high school and freshman in college. Finally met him as a sophomore. I was just so fired up in college. I was so fired up. He fired his hand and shake it. Went like this and then shook my hand. Learned an interesting lesson with that one. That doesn't need to go in teenage. Well, did I want to be that guy? Do I want to be the guy who farts on his hand and shakes your hand? Do I want to be that guy? I'm serious. Do you want to be that person? I mean, have you ever met one? Has anyone here ever met a role model? It can be disturbing. It can be shocking. You know, many times you'll meet, especially those who are bodybuilders, one of the worst, biggest, great bodybuilders are very not tall. You know, they walk past you. Oh, hey, role model. He picks Reg Park. And down in the bottom there, I've got Reg Park's workout. You know, he does, Reg Park, he says, does bench press, chin-up, squat, row, barbell curls, wrist curls, pullovers, leg extensions, calf strains. You know, I'm done. That's pretty good advice. You want to be a bodybuilder? Yeah, do those heavy 5 sets of 5. Thank you very much. Let's go have drinks. You know, we'll see you downstairs. That's good advice. What's my point on Arnold? This is the point right there. When Arnold comes with this wonderful little list of things, he's 16 years old. There's a guy on Teen Nation. Do any of you read Teen Nation? It's up. Internet. Oh, really? Good.
I said that.
It's
a horrible website.
There's a guy in there who kind of busts my chops every so often. Finally, I looked up his profile. He's a college kid. And I find another post. He's been lifting weights, I told the guys like that, 1 year.
He knows it all.
He's an expert. 1 year. I was 13 at the same level of experience. It was 1970. And he's busting my chops over the fact that I think it's hard to squat really heavy every day. I'd love to see his workouts. Because when I think heavy, I think the bar hurts. I mean, the bar bends, you know? When he's got, you know, him and, you know, frat brothers are, you know. Are gems, each and every one of them. There's an internet poseur by the name of John, I can't even pronounce that name, I'm a first. Now, the thing is, this was today's tip a couple days ago. One of the things I liked about it, to help you along, this is the teacher in me, you'll notice I bold-faced it and italicized it. Just saying. I do the extra mile for you people. I could have just bold-faced it. No. I also account. I make sure that every 2 years, my body gets reminded of its ability to drop fat successfully by dieting down really low. Again, there's Reds Park's workout. Do that. Every 2 years, go on extreme fat loss diet. But did you? There's two words in there that's going to throw almost all of you off. Every 2 years. That means you had to do it one time and then 2 years later do it again. That means you had to train at least 3 years before you could even understand that. One of the keys to being great in what we do, in this shared madness that we do, is that you have to understand that this is a long-term investment. I'm 49 years old. 49. My first trophy comes from 1967. Reference, my wife was born in 68. I've been in the game a long time. A long time. To stay in the game a long time, folks, you have to start thinking that way. And I don't mind. If you want to do crazy stuff, go ahead. Let's, you know, you want to jump off the building for plyometrics. Go ahead. I'm fine. In fact, I was just thinking, I was coming down that, the escalator, thinking, this could plyometrics place, you know, to jump on the bar, you know, steal the maker's market run. Do you guys know I'm on a diet? Yeah. I've been at booze. A long time. I know, you're going to hear about my diet all day. You know, it's like grandma and her knee, okay? You're just going to keep hearing it. So just every time I say it, roll your eyes back in your head and fall asleep and let me. But John's point is genius here. every 2 years go on a fat loss program. Every 2 years go on the Velocity diet. Every 2 years go on the whatever. The point is important here. And I agree about the body reminding itself about it. 100%. You know, those of us who do the Olympic sports, you know, we have that 4 year window, right? No one cares about that. Seriously, no one cares about track and field until the Olympic Games, right? I'm serious. I mean, I know that. I don't care about it either. I mean, I can't stand anything but the distance. I'd rather sleep than watch the pole vault, you know. Good case of diarrhea than runs the 10K. I say that out loud. Okay. Inside voice. You know, if you're getting ready for the 2008 Olympics, if you want to make the trials as the oldest person ever to have done it, I don't know, for example, September 2006 is when you want to go on a serious fat loss diet. I'm talking about a goal for June 2008. I'm talking about a goal for June 2008. That, my friends, is what I'm here to talk about today. Long-term planning. And now, after all this introduction, you want to start talking about your top 30? Okay. This is one of those overdone things. God bless you. You know what I'm talking about. Do you want me to use the words? You've got to think outside the box for this paradigm shift to happen. Okay. How many of you recognize that phrase? You work in the business world, right? No? How many of you have heard those phrases? Thank you. Did you have a seminar? Yeah, I've always said to people, why don't you just hire me? I'll just say think outside the box and paradigm shift 6 or 7 times. Pay me the money and I'll go home, you know? This is one of those things that showed up a lot a couple of years ago. It's called the Johari window. And what I like about it is only because of 2 points. There's 2 points in there. Basically, you've got these 4 quadrants, known to self and known to others. This is your public area, okay? What do you guys know about it? Some people know that I'm from California. That's kind of cool. I'm pretty straight up, I think. If you guys read my forum posts? Anyone read my Velocity Diet forum posts? That was in the rantings of the madman about 2 days ago. I'm talking about bowel movements and the fact that I'm just staring. True story. I mean, I'm serious. I'm staring at people's food in restaurants. You guys were with me last night? It's a true story. Well, it's true, huh? I mean, these guys are checking out the grills and I'm looking what they're eating. I'm serious. Those are black olives. I like those. Yeah. Didn't know they'd have garbanzo beans. Damn, I like garbanzo beans. I like them. Public. Known to yourself. As you slide down here, if we slide down here in this quadrant right straight below it, it's unknown to others, your hidden areas. Each of you have a hidden areas. There's things about you don't like. You can call it as athletes, we call them our weaknesses sometimes. I work with athletes that fold under pressure. So in training, we put them under pressure. We find out what's the problem and work with it. I work with a basketball player who has a hard time with free throws at the end of the game. You know what's funny? He wasn't choking. He never trained free throws tired. So we had him do goblet squats with a kettlebell and then step to the line, and he misses every single one. And he looked at me and goes, oh my God. Yeah, I know. I thought so too. He's never shot. He doesn't train free throws like this. He trains them. Hey, so, you know, we're going to prom and we're going to, you know, have a... He never trains in the real world. So sometimes our hidden areas could be physical issues. You know, you might have a weakness, a problem, something going on. As we slide over there, these are things that are unknown to self. That are your blind areas. And this is where I can help. I'm going to say one thing for the Velocity Diet. Chris isn't here, right? So I can talk frankly. I have come to some wonderful conclusions about myself. I really have. I was blind to a lot of things. Hey, I did not realize how much I like drinking. Whoa, wait a second, Andrew. Whoa. You're admitting in front of a group of people that you might have an alcohol problem? You know, when you become famous for your scotch drinking, as Derek once said, I've never had someone drink scotch for scotch with me, he's 6'8". I said, I'm drinking beer too. You know? Well, what's my point? I'm not saying that. Hi, I'm Dan. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is, there's a blind area in my life. How convenient, you know, I mean, my wife and I, we're doing okay financially. We have excellent wines. My friend Chris Long said the upside of coming to my house, Dan John's house, is you're always well fed and you're always well thirsted. I mean, we have fine wines. And how comfortable I became eating, if it was a chicken dinner, you know, we had a chicken, a very nice, with cabbage on the side, and a bottle of Pinot Grigio. You know, it was a low-carb meal and a bottle of wine. Well, after wine, you have to have, you know, something to help yourself relieve your, you know, diarrhea at night, you know. So, you know, I have very good scotches. Johnny Walker Green is one of my favorites. Thank you. You just sent it. I like Jack Daniels. Well, do you see the problem here? How convenient, how hidden, how blind I was to the fact that it was easy to knock down a bottle of wine without even thinking about it and one or two scotches. Without even, you follow my point? The velocity diet here really opened up my eyes to a couple of, and again, I don't want you guys saying, well, Dan John talked about being an alcoholic. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying how blind I was. Here's another thing. How blind I became about snacks through the day. For those of you who've ever gone on a contest diet, you know what I'm talking about. How all of a sudden you cut that stuff out and it's like, wait a second, this is a convenient thing. They always tell you, I mean, one of the best things you can do to decide to go on a diet is clean out your refrigerator, right? Clean out your house. Why? Because you're blind to it. You know, I put, the reason I have my garage is a gym. You guys, my garage is a gym, my backyard is a gym. It's called the Murray Institute for Lifelong Fitness, the MILF. I never. No, Murray's not. It's a city. I live there. You got it. I don't know why anyone's got that one. So, why do I always keep my gym there? Why do I keep the weights loaded in my home gym? Why? If you have the weight on the bar, you have everything ready to go, you lose that one more reason to stop. I often lift. I mean, let's just say it's good that the garage door is down. Because there's many times I just lift, you know, in my 90s. You know, I'm in there doing a set of front squats. Don't write this down. Okay. Point is, it's there. Now, for some of you, you have a blind area about your workouts. You can only work out at 24-hour, 7 fitness. And you can only work out with your buddy, you know, Tyrone. And you can only work out on the days Tyrone is open. Pretty soon, you've worked yourself out that you never work out. What are your blind areas? The V diet was good for me. I have the habit of training. Okay? The only time I've missed training, the last time I missed training was for an extended period was during the Reagan administration. I went to the Middle East and I picked up a little parasite and I was sick. When I first met my wife, I still couldn't drink alcohol because I had a little friend that lived in my body. So I couldn't work out for about 6 months for good reason. You wouldn't want to be spotting me squatting. We'll just go there and move on. In that little quadrant here is your unknown areas. A couple years ago, they did a really interesting study in religious education on what model of teaching religious education was the most efficient. And you know what the study came up, Warren came up with? Coaching. The best model for teaching religious education was coaching. The best model to walk people through life's journey is coaching. I was a grief counselor for a long time. You don't lecture someone grieving. All right, here's the 7 steps that you'll be going through in the next 4 weeks. Somewhere around week 7, you'll be here. No! You coach them. You call it whatever you want. I like to always say walk with somebody. You walk with people. See, my sense of coaching is that I don't, today I'm lecturing this, it's really, but generally when I coach somebody, we walk together. And there's 2 things that come up in the Johari window that I think really explain what coaching and what you can do this weekend for yourself. There's 2 words there. The first one is feedback, and the other one is disclosure. Disclosure, and underneath there I have what I call disclosure 101. Disclosure is letting him, you tell him something. Disclosure is admitting to us you want, well, I say help, but this is what you want. I'll tell you one thing. I never thought this was a big deal. I never thought what I was about to say was a big deal until I saw it myself. Putting your picture of your belly on the World Wide Web.
Oh.
Yeah. Son of a gun, I click on that picture on T-Nation, it's like, oh, let's diet. You know, I love this sugar, you know. He finds the worst picture ever made of me. You know, he's talking about my belly fat. And I look like hell, you know. And it's like, oh, thanks, Chris. I appreciate that one, too. You put your picture. I always tell people, do before and after pictures. You put it on the web. And you know what's amazing? And I don't want it to change. So far, no one's wrote anything like, you big fat pig. You're an obese blimp, and how can you ever talk about health and fitness? You're 49, but you look like you're 51. Yeah, I can't wait for the posts coming in. The moderators will be going, why are people replying about being 51? You know? Put it out there. I have a good friend named Amy, God bless him. Amy woke up one day, 31. Nothing wrong with it. We're not being recorded, right?
What's that?
Amy woke up one day, 31. I like this woman a lot. She was overweight. She had picked up a STD that had made her unable to bear children. She was a party girl. She was like everyone's friend. You know, that statistic where only 20% of men have sex, 80% of men want to have sex, and only 20% of women do. She's the one that helped those numbers. the thing is, I have great respect for her. I'm telling because this is all stuff she told me. And she was smoked like a chimney. So she's the one, I think I mentioned her in an article. She's the one that started rallying people up. She'd be on a, God bless her, she'd be at work and say, I'm quitting smoking. You see me smoking, you stop me smoking. She lost an enormous amount of weight. She put it out there. She told everybody, you know, I'm fat, I got to cut it back. I smoke, you know me. She did all of it at once. She cut, smoked, stopped smoking. She lost, I would say, 50, 60 pounds in a short. She would have weighed Weight Watchers, which I thought was a good program for her. She got into a relationship with a pretty decent guy. Well, there's more story we'll move on. And was straight up about herself coming in, which I think honestly is an odd thing in a relationship. You got to be very careful. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Do these pants make my ass look fat?
Yes.
No, you're...
Your ass does.
You look great up.
The flip side of that is, am I losing more hair?
That's not funny. Is it? Hard in the morning, though. With the humidity here, the wax is coming on. It starts coming on with the side. I'm doing the back comb over, you know. This is all my... Yeah, it's actually... Okay. Well, Amy... How did Amy do it? Well, one of the things Amy did was she disclosed. Hey, this is my problem, this is my problem, this is my problem, this is my problem. You want to be part of my team? Come on. You know? Fine, that's fine. Hey, yes, sir. This is my problem, this is my problem, this is my problem, this is my problem. You want to help me? Yeah. What's funny is that most people will rally up with you. Will rally up with you when you tell me problems. You know what's... I was against this idea at the beginning of the Velocity Diet. I begged my wife, please don't tell anybody I'm on this diet. I mean, I don't mind telling you guys I'm on the Velocity Diet. Because, no offense, next Sunday you're not going to be at the barbecue with me, right? You're not going to be heckling, hey, you're on a diet, you're on a diet. You know, I mentioned last night, you know, I'm at a barbecue last week and I'd already lost a lot of weight. This woman comes up and says, you've lost so much weight, what are you doing? And I said, I just looked at her and go, why did my wife do that? And she goes, well, I need to lose weight. It's like, this isn't the way you want to go. I mean, the smell of hot dog is going past my nose and I'm thinking, I mean, I'm having erotic thoughts. And she said, well, I have a lot of self-discipline. And she's knocking down beers and eating chips. I know you have a lot of self-discipline. You might need just this much more. Disclosure. Let's talk about disclosure. Do you guys mind if we actually do some work? Is it okay if you guys talk to each other today? It's your call. I mean, it's one of those things you can or can't. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of small groups because they always get out of hand. But what I'd like to do in this next section is talk about, and maybe if you want to share some things, that's great, with each other. You have to make it out loud. But this is how I put together, and I've changed it quite a bit since I actually typed this a month ago. Whatever your goal is, I call it the goal. Okay? Should I go slower? If you make your goal, what are the great things that are going to happen to you? And if you don't make your goal, what are the great things? So what we did, and I stole this from, somebody said I stole this from Anthony Robbins. It's not true. He stole it from somebody else, and I stole it from them. If you make your goal, is there any pain associated with making your goal? That's a tough question. Okay, in June 2004, were the Olympic trials. And I had made a goal of making the Olympic trials as a discus thrower. I didn't make it, okay? But was there any pain with trying to make the trials that year? Yeah. Nearly every Saturday from December to June, I was on the road. Very often in San Diego throwing the discus. Ohio, all over the United States, trying to throw, getting big meets. My record against America's Best Throwers was very good. But let's just say I made some personal choices that don't help early in the season. I can't figure out what I'm saying. Don't worry. When those big marks show up, and then drop. Pain of my goals. Yeah, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a Division I athlete because I knew I had to get a college scholarship. So what does that mean? Well, that means that most of my joints have little lines from surgeries. Okay? It means that on cold days in Utah, my right ankle hurts because you take a billion turns or you get arthritic ankles. Each of you in this room knows what I'm talking about with your goals. Right? You know, everyone talks about how beautiful, I'd like to have children. Obviously you don't have any. But it's a good goal. You know? Of course, in our family, you know, my sister-in-law asked me, God, she wanted to film the birth of my second child, you know. And that's when I almost lost Tip and Lindsay. And I said to her, you know, in our family we don't film the birth, we film the conception. Oh! Old joke. Is there pain in getting your goal? Yes, there is. Okay, I'm 49. I wake up one day, I'm big. And I realize that if my mom died about the age I'm at, I'm thinking, hey, I said, I got two teenage daughters. I'd like to go to their wedding. Carrying all that apple fat isn't going to help my goals. So I jump on this velocity joy. Is there any pain?
Tremendous.
Oh, my God. For those who've done it.
Tremendous.
Give me an amen. There's a moment there. It's hard. I mean, you give up drinking and food. Something you give. I'm taking up smoking. You know, just ask. Except that was a few times. Is there pleasure in getting your goal? You know, I worked in the 2004 year, I worked with a number of Olympic people trying to make the Olympic team. And one of the hardest things for them to get across was this. You know what? Making the Olympic team? What do you get? And I made them sit down and go, oh, it'd be so cool. And my one friend Mike says, you know, it'd be cool. Okay, and? Oh, Mike's girlfriend didn't think I could make it. Good goal here. You know? And all of a sudden he looked at me and he goes, you know what? I haven't really associated much pleasure in getting the goal of being on the Olympic team. And I said, I know. And it's sabotaging there. I know you have got to make the reward of being on the Olympic team so great in your mind that it outdoes all of you. What if you don't make your goal? Now the funny thing is, let's slide over to pleasure right there. Can you get pleasure in not getting your goals? This is one of the toughest things for people to realize. And this is why I'm talking about disclosure. I would like you to take your number one goal, your fitness goal, for example, in this case, and run it through and say, well, what is the pleasure of not finishing the velocity dive? Well, steak. That's obvious to me. The fact that yesterday on the Southwest flight, because we were 2 hours delayed, they were giving out free booze. The woman next to me is ordering a bourbon. She goes, I want a bourbon and seven. So the lady comes back with Jack Daniels, and I think it was Jim Beam, I'm not sure. And she's waving these two free bottles of her. Well, which one do you want? She basically said, oh, take both. Free booze. I mean, that's like right up there on the list of phrases in my life. Free booze. And I'm sitting there going, no, I'll just have my water. Free booze. Is there pleasure in not getting your goals? Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. How many of you, have any of you ever slept through something you were supposed to do? Yeah, last weekend we had this, this is Dan John Genius Part 17B. I hurt my elbow at the Pleasanton Highland Games. How do you hurt your elbow throwing a 26-pound rock? Oh, I don't know. First event, Saturday morning, I hurt my elbow. And it's just bad because it's a two-day contest. It's rough, people. The following weekend, I sponsored, a kettlebell games. Well, since they were in my school, I might as well lift, right? We had a whole bunch of people not show up that morning and lift. And I asked the one guy, Anthony, I go, why didn't you come on Saturday morning? Stayed out late, and I just slept through. Listen, the pleasure of sleeping through was much versus standing there with two 70-pound kettlebells going. Sleeping was better than for 10 minutes. Go figure. The pleasure of not getting your goals sometimes is very high. If you've slept through an event, if you've not gone to something you're supposed to go through, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then, of course, there's the big one. What is the pain of not getting your goals? Traditionally, I have focused all my time on that, and I was wrong. I did an article. I stole this from Robin's trip. One of his clients went on a thing called the Alpo diet. How many of you are familiar with the Alpo diet?
Doctors.
The Alpo diet. What you do is this. You get eight friends together who will hold you to it, and I will. I'm your friend. I'm going to hold you to it. And I'm going to shove it down your throat. You sit there and you say, in 4 weeks from today, I'm going to be 10 pounds lighter. If I'm not, I will eat a can of Alpo. Now you say, so what? You ever smelled that stuff? Every time you reach for a donut, just read, ingredient number one. Mr. Ed. Cultural. Force me. After reading that, that's not enough. Open it up if you want that six-pack of Miller Lite. Smell it. That'll be enough of a trigger to keep you eating. We have discovered is the pain of not doing something is high enough. You can go through with anything. I always think about it this way. Your child is strapped down to on a train track, and the train is coming. The train will be there in 6 minutes. Will you run a six-minute mile? I like that. Good answer. Can I run a six-minute mile right now? Dan John running. This is me running. I can't, maybe chase food or something, or free booze, But to save my time, the pain of not getting there in 6 minutes outweighs the pain of running, right? What I used to tell people is, focus there. Invent how much pain it will cost you. But then I realized, this is very effective. This broke the article for teenage. About a week or two ago, I realized that everything I'm telling you is dancing with the negative. It's dancing with the negative. There's a wonderful book out there called The 1 Minute Manager. And he has a mantra. And if you can, I'd like you to write it down. or to change it. You can see it's Luke's. He says, look at your goals. How many of you know this? Oh, good. I wrote this. Something I came up with. I've got to remember to quote myself before. Ask before anyone's read a book. Okay. Okay, I wrote Hamlet too. Look at your goals. Look at your behaviors. Do your behaviors match your goals? Wait, I got one better. Look at your goals. Look at your behaviors. Do your behaviors match your goals? Look at your goals. Look at your behaviors. Do your behaviors match your goals? You want to beat me in the discus throw, what should you start doing? Going this. Your goal is to beat me in the discus. But does your behavior match that? Well, no, Dana. What I'm doing is I'm doing Bulgarian split squats. Oh, that's a great exercise. But it's not going to beat me throwing the discus. Does that make sense? Your goal is to lose fat. Your behavior is to go out every Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, and Tuesday because that's 10-cent wing night, and Wednesdays because that's 10-cent dog night. Do your behaviors match your goals? Do you follow that pretty simply? But those of you, how many of you have clients, people you work with in the fitness industry? Let me see some hands. I can guarantee that what's killing your clients' goals is that phrase. They can come to you a couple days a week, but the rest of their behaviors are cutting them. I've changed this to one little thing. Because, to be honest with you, when we talk about goals here, okay, I'm 49. Is anyone 49 and above? Hands? No. No.
59
and
down.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a 30-year-old, though.
Okay, inside.
Yeah.
And 23. You know, as we talk about things, the government, federal government's done a lot of interesting recent research lately because there's a real issue floating out there. The baby boom generation is retiring.
Yay!
And the baby boom generation are masters of systems. I'm one. I'm a master of systems. I can always get things done. I can always get things done. A hotel, we didn't have the lights on. You know how Diamond Bot, right? I'm a master of systems. We don't trust bureaucracies very quickly, so we're always trying to find the back door. Baby boomers also love titles. We love titles. You know, with testosterone, they named me a senior writer. They don't pay me a nickel. Oh, I have a title, though. There's another generation here. Greg LeMond is a great example of you guys. He was a racer before the other guy, Armstrong. When he was coming up, he had a little dollar sign painted on his handlebars. Why did Greg LeMond get into racing? For the cashish. For the money. There's a whole other generation here. We have some of you in here. You're called Nexters. And you guys are radically different than the rest of us. Nexters aren't going to come to a clinic like this. Because they're at home right now waiting for your information on the web. And they're emailing their friends going, dude, wish I was there. Yeah, that's half a block away. You know? But it's Saturday morning at 9, and that just doesn't work because, you know, his fantasy football league is scheduling a round table. So what am I just saying there? Dan John will kill to be the world champion in some sport that no one cares about. Just to put on a little patch, and honestly, God, it's this big, on my wall in my gym. Go to the Highland Games a couple of weeks ago, and I have a nephew who's a little bit, I'm the youngest of six, okay? So I became an uncle about this kid, right? And we're there at these Highland Games, and we're standing around, and, you know, the fact that, you know, all the pomp and circumstance, I am a big crowd cheering on. It's very good for your ego. My wife also said it's very stimulating. Sweet. Don't. Thank you. And we're standing around, and my nephew says, what are we waiting for? And I go, well, I'm waiting for the check. opened up. He says, oh! And there was a huge generational difference between the two of us. I was there for the, I don't even know where the things are now, the medal and the name, the plaque. He heard there was money involved. Cha-ching! Those of you Generation Xers, the funny thing about you guys, when I talked about finances at the beginning, for those of you older, you weren't, what is he talking about? Generation Xers. You know, these guys are, my wife had more, had a huge retirement fund by the time she was about 25. Because she watched her parents lose their job. You know, she watched a lot of things change. Generation Xers are like, show me the money.
Show
me the money. You know, me watching the NFL today and these guys talk about hashish and money. The honor of representing the San Diego Chargers. No, I want cash. Am I right? And there's a disconnect between Dan John and those players playing now. I would have done anything in my youth to represent the United States of America on the Olympic podium. No image of reward coming back. Financial reward. Nexters now, they're like a relay team. When you work with Nexters, you have to think about a track relay team. These guys, if we're going to do a job together, his point is, yeah, just give me the baton. I'll do it, and then I'll give it to somebody else. My generation's like, well, what did the boss say? Okay? Radically different way of looking at things. So, look at your rewards. Then look at your behaviors. Do your rewards match your behaviors? Let's go through this thing. Look at your rewards. Look at your behaviors. Do your behaviors match your rewards? I told you I want to make a run at making the Olympic trials, not the Olympic team. That's as a 50, I'll be 51, I think. 51-year-old. Why would I want to do that? Because no one else ever has. For Dan John, born August 28, 1957, in a little lovely town called Burlingame, California. Getting notoriety, the name that I've done it, is the reward. There are people in here going, man, you can sell magazines and a book, and you can talk, you can get a DVD out on your, you can make cashish. And there's also people in here maybe who are sitting here going, oh, June 2008? Oh, there's like this thing I got to do. June's not good for me. How about July? Because I want to go on this trip to Costa Rica. And so, Olympic trials, trip to Costa Rica. It's kind of cool, a bunch of us meeting down there. And it'd be kind of, not ripping on you. Just saying, we see things different. When you think through your rewards, you need to think them through. If you have clients, if you have athletes, if you have friends who badger you at barbecues about fitness and diet, don't focus so much on their goals. Focus about their rewards. Why did Amy lose so much? My friend Amy. Because for her, one of her rewards was, I want to be in a normal relationship. She said, I'm tired of the bar scene. I'm tired of being overweight. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. For her, the reward was to get into a stable relationship. So for Amy, all that sacrifice was worth it. Her rewards matched her behaviors. Does that make sense to you? It does. If someone walks in and says to you, I want to be Mr. Olympia, I'm willing to do anything. The first question out of your mouth is, it's going to be why, of course. But I would ask the follow-up, what do you expect to get from it? If they say, I think it'd be cool just to be Mr. Olympia, you know, it'd be awesome. You know? If you got yourself a poser, which I was called, by the way, not long ago, which I am, but hurt. If someone says, I want to be a fitness model or blah, 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 what are the rewards you're seeing from that? If they say, well, I want to do this for a living, I can see myself making a lot of money doing this, you have a chance to work with that person. All right? What I'd like to do right now is very simple. Well, let's turn a page, and we'll do it this way. This is just a little thing I want. This is just a free-form first idea here, okay? What I'd like to do, I'm going to give you a minute or two, about a minute to do this. Before we even begin, you know, we're still on disclosure and all that. What I'd like you to make is an honest assessment of your tools. What do you have in front of you? Now, I'm assuming and I'm hoping that most of you kind of have a goal. And if you don't, come and I'll give you one, okay? Yeah, we'll just be brutally honest with each other, you know. Maybe everyone stand up here and thong and take it, stand and turn. Oh, you got to work, you know. Throw things at them. That'd be very healthy. That was a good idea. No one's listening. Why don't you start talking about your assets? What are your assets? It's funny, because what I've included there is on my list, Dan's home gym. That's what I have in my home. And I look at this list as I was typing it up. It's like, oh, cow. Now, listen, some of you are looking at me going, well, what's the big deal about soccer balls, footballs, and volleyballs? Well, I'll tell you what. If you don't have them, that means if we get bored while we're working out, we throw a ball around for a while. We play a little bit, okay? I've got a bunch of throwing implements. That means probably 200-300 pounds worth of throwing stuff. A couple of kettlebells, that's six. A sled. I've got an 85-pound stone. Backpacks, PVC, broomsticks. I actually have four Olympic bars. Two that are pretty good, and then one that's a female bar, the 15-pounder, and then I got a thick Olympic bar. Do I even include everything? I also have an Olympic dumbbell. That's not in there. Racks, chains, stands. These are just some of the things that are in my home gym. By the way, it was funny. As I was going through this list, I can't tell you how empowered I felt about training at home. I think most people should train at home. That's my own opinion. I can't stand working. No offense to you guys, but the gym's driving me crazy. I do front squats at gyms, and it's just like, it's people look at you like you're weird. I mean, these guys are screaming doing the 95-pound behind neck presses, and they look at me like I'm weird. I would not bring any attention to myself if I was lifting anything under 200 pounds, 300 pounds. I'll bring attention to myself, you know, when it's a big lift, something that, you know, it's cool. God sakes. I mean, I do sometimes yell when I throw an 18-foot caber. That's cool. But, come on. I want to just walk over. It's 95 pounds. There are women over there. They can see you. You will never reproduce, which might be a good thing. Stop. My God. It's hurt. Stop yelling. Hide. The other thing is, I put in Jim Murray's classic Olympic lifting workout there, too. You say, Dan, I want an Olympic lift. And I think the reason I put it in there is because just look at the number of things Jim assumes that you can do just to do his basic workout. Power snatch, squat snatch, high pull, shrug, press, overhead squat, back squat, power clean, squat clean, high pull, shrug, front squat, bench press, and then push press, split jerk, quarter squat. That's a lot of skills to do his simplest workout. So, let's take a moment aside, and I'd like you to just list your home assets. Okay? You have the book Body for Life. You have the Bowflex. You've got the AdMaster 2000. The AdMaster 2004. List your assets, and then underneath here, your skills. By the way, you don't have to know the Olympic list. I'm just saying, you know, I have the Olympic list, yes or no. Power lifts, general calisthenics, odd but fun stuff.
That will wrap it up for part one of the two-part presentation from Dan John. Don't forget to check out danjohn.org. For more information on Dan, don't forget to check out his DVDs. Just to be honest, he can do some amazing things with your squat stance and all your Olympic lifts. So don't forget to check out the DVDs he has on the site. And also, don't forget to download part two of the presentation, and I hope you like it.